the people who doesn't know see is like a trance, but it's just a matter of knowledge, no facts.
Some of the people live inside the camp. They don't have document. And the next minute, they are asking you to leave the camp. So you have to decide where you want to go. If you don't have the place to go, you have to sleep in the streets. So that makes some of them to become some drug addicts, criminals, a lot of things. Obviously, it's not easy.
Hey guys, and welcome to my podcast. I am your host, Sarah Chang, and this is a series in 2019 called The Changing Faces of Europe. We are a group of 13 students researching and witnessing what the refugee crisis really is and how it's causing major controversy in Europe, in particular, Greece and Italy. Being out here has given me a rare opportunity to step into the shoes of a journalist, you know, interviewing people, asking questions that opens up the pathway to more questions, getting inspired to learn about an issue from the inside that allows me to feel the impact of the stats and figures that we learn about in the classroom. You know, it's funny, I've done papers in past semesters about the refugee crisis, and you hear about this number, 1 million, who have migrated across Europe, but it doesn't give you any sort of emotional attachment to the issue until you meet one of these people. So this podcast is designed to put a face to that number, or in this sense, to put a voice on it. I mean, people are generally tired of talking about it, and they're tired of hearing about it too, but that doesn't mean that this is something that's just gonna go away on its own, or that someone else will step in and take care of it. No, I would argue that the opposite is true. This is a real problem, it affects all of us, and it's getting worse. It's an exacerbated issue because NGOs don't have as much funding as they used to when this crisis first started. There are policies now that enforce the inhumane treatment of people. There are neo-Nazi parties that have risen from the shadows who are more socially acceptable again. I mean, that thought alone terrifies me. We should live in a world where no human being should be treated as an illegal person. So we will hear from the refugees themselves. We will see what it's like before they come to Europe, where they fled from, and why. After escaping all that war, violence, the perilous journey that they went through to survive, the second war that not many people talk about that starts after they finally make it out, the documentation process, the dangers they face of being sent back to where they came from, the violation of human rights as asylum seekers, so that you can see the shift that is happening from the crisis of migration in the beginning to the refugee crisis that you know of, and now what we are witnessing as the crisis of asylum. In the end of the series, we will discuss solutions that you and I can be a part of as free thinkers, and you will be able to meet people who are leading from the front lines and actively doing their part. Follow us on social media to get involved and to see all the content that we will put out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at SJSU Greece Italy. I hope that in this podcast you will gain some insight on this issue, and by the end you can see the parallels that exist between this issue in Europe and the one that we're facing at home in the States with our own issues of racial injustice. Because as a democracy, we can stand to reclaim the nature of our Constitution and what it was meant to stand for. So let's start with some basics. To help you understand what we're dealing with here, it's important to start with some context. Our first stop was in Catania, which is a city in Sicily at the southern portion of Italy. What we learned is that its geographical location is so integral in understanding why the perspective of the refugee crisis shifted so dramatically in this country. If you look at a map, Sicily is located in between Europe on the south and the African continent from the north. So as you can imagine, there are thousands of refugees fleeing their countries, families, people in Gambia, New Guinea, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Sudan, Libya, the Congo, all who use the ports in Tunisia, paying smugglers between 1 and 5,000 euros each to get on these man-made finicky little plastic boats to cross the Mediterranean into the ports of Sicily. At first, Sicily welcomed them with open arms. The Italian government set up what was called Operation Mare Nostrum, where the Italian Navy would go out into the Mediterranean and save people from drowning. They would rescue people and bring them back into the ports of Sicily, and this was happening every single day. It sounds like a heroic movie, right? Like, you definitely want to see this film. But eventually, the tides changed. In 2015, the Italian government reached out to the European Union. They were like, hey, EU, what's up? Can you help us with funding? I mean, we're out here, our funds are drying out, we're trying to save people and do the right thing. And they were like, sorry. They literally had no support from the European Union. They had no support from any other European country and basically left Italy to fend for themselves. The EU went one step further, actually, and shut it down. They shut down Operation Mare Nostrum, set up their own agency to take their place called Frontex. Let me be clear, Frontex is not an NGO. They are a control agency, much like ICE in the United States, that the EU set up in response to the growing numbers of people coming into Europe, and their focus was not to rescue people, no. Their goal was to control the borders. Border protection, right? So, number one, they're not rescuing people anymore. Number two, they were tasked to manage the migration flows because the EU wanted to reduce the number of refugees coming into Europe. Number three, they had to control the external borders from what they call irregular entries by fingerprinting every single person coming in so that no matter where you try to go in Europe, they would both be tracked, and if they were caught, they would by law be sent back to the first country they landed in. This meant that if you were an asylum seeker coming into Greece and they wrote you down as an economic migrant, it would greatly affect your claim and disallow you from receiving any emergency services like food, shelter, clothing that you desperately needed. So, what's the significance of filing as an asylum seeker versus an economic migrant? Well, the change in the humanitarian approach in Italy, influenced by popular opinion due to reasons of security issues and people had this fear of losing their cultural integrity, led to the separation of classifying migrants between the two. But what's the difference, right? The difference is everything. Asylum seekers are those who are seeking asylum from war, persecution, violence, or are considered climate change refugees. Those who are considered economic migrants, however, are those who are just looking for a better paying job. Both terms are interchangeable, and you may be thinking, well, one leads to the other, and it's true, it does. But this difference allowed the European Union to legally maintain the notion that crossing into Europe does not guarantee any kind of threshold of salvation. In fact, if you come into Europe by boat, you are considered an illegal immigrant. The adoption of the Dublin Regulation in 2003 mandated any one country in Europe to be responsible for processing the claims for asylum seekers, which was usually the first state they entered the EU in. Here's the problem with that. Whatever they processed your claim as usually was the final decision no matter where you tried to go in Europe, because remember, they had your fingerprints in the system. As soon as you landed in Sicily, the police would pick you up, take you to Frontex officials who would ask you trick questions to try to get you to file yourself as an economic migrant. For example, one official would ask, "Why did you come to Italy?" And if you answer, "To work," then you'll be taken immediately to a government-run reception center, also known as a refugee camp. On the other side of the coin, if you ask for asylum and say, "I ask for asylum," they are obligated by law to process your claim, but as you wait, you're taken to the refugee camp too. The asylum applications, they're supposed to take 3 months, but usually, without telling you why, it takes up to a year. Some wait even longer. We met a refugee that is still waiting 3 years later.
Also,
All of the information from today's podcast comes from the research of Dr. Ayole Fontana in the Department of Political and Social Science from the University of Catania and from www.w2eu.info, which is an NGO that offers an info guide for refugees and migrants called Welcome to Italy. On the next episode, we will hear from local Italian students from the University of Catania and their opinion of this crisis, and from a migrant we met at a government-run refugee camp in the outskirts of Catania called Garamineo, where thousands of refugees were relocated at an undisclosed location right before our arrival. Ciao for now!